Hello. Let me pause. Hang on, let me unmute you. Hello. Why do you keep getting muted? Hang on, you're muted again. Try again. Say something.
Hello. Can you
Hello.
hear me?
Yes,
Hi.
my cat, like I've been gone for a few days. This is my baby, so she's missing her mommy. She's
She's
like,
really
where have you ever
pretty.
been here? Do what?
She's very pretty.
Yes, she's gonna crawl around the whole time, probably at least for a few minutes.
That's
All
okay.
right, so what are we coaching on?
So, I asked if I could get coached about what it means to really feel your feelings, because I've been hearing that for a long time, like for 20 years, and I never really understood what it means. And I tried to turn off the distractions one day when I was feeling anxious. And I sat there and closed my eyes and thought, okay, I'm going to visualize. I just started visualizing the what was making me anxious, and it just made it worse.
So you weren't feeling the feeling. What you were doing is manifesting the feeling. So
Yeah,
when we're like, all right, I'm gonna feel my feelings. Let me think of exactly why I'm feeling anxiety right now. And that just like brings it up a notch. It's the same thing of like, let's say you wanted to feel love and you retell the story of your wedding. That makes you feel more love, like, or
Yeah.
more joy or whatever. So feeling a feeling is a little different. So here's how we feel a feeling. You kind of were on the right path. You're gonna sit there, like, guys, and I really it, like all of you should practice this on a regular basis, and you can do it at any time. You do not have to wait until you feel miserable to do this. You can do it at, like when you feel kind of just, I don't really know what I'm feeling right now. I may just be bored. I may just be, happy, whatever it is. But I like to do, and I have the campers do this, is sit and I set a timer for 1 minute. And I literally close my eyes and I listen for what's going on inside of my body, not inside of my brain. What's going on in your brain are the sentences creating whatever feeling that's vibrating through your body. So what you were doing is you were like focusing on what was creating the feeling for you, which is just going to amplify it. Now, the way to do it is to just be like, okay, start at your head. Is there anything I feel in my face? What does my throat feel like? How's my breathing? Just kind of work your way down all the way to your feet. That is what feeling a feeling is. It takes the focus off of the sentences creating the feeling. It gives your brain a job to experience the physical part of it, because the part that causes us pain is the sentences. We are all running from those sentences. But when we boil down anxiety to physical sensations, it's not near as bad as we think it is. It's just when I think, when I go, like when I feel depression in my body, it's not bad. It's just, oh, it's heavy, sluggish. My legs feel like they weigh 40 pounds a piece, like whatever it is. Like it's like you just, you go through that and your brain is not sitting there going, well, you're never going to reach your dreams. There's no sense in getting out of bed today. No one likes you anyway. Like that is different. So that's what feeling a feeling is like.
Yeah, I'm gonna try that. I've never tried that. And I hope that it helps
It
to
will. Like,
dissipate the feeling.
it does. Like, I want you to really think about this, is that feelings cannot hurt us. You know what actually hurts us?
Avoiding the feelings.
Yeah. And we normally do that in the action line.
Right. Eat.
Like, when we start reacting to the feelings, then we're causing ourselves pain. If we literally just sit there and we are, like what is, when I feel anger, most of us can sit with some anger. I always go back to telling myself this when I'm like really pissed. Like I was really upset yesterday morning about something, and I wrote, and I said, the worst that's happening right now is your interpretation of what's going on. Everything that you're thinking, this is the worst part. Yeah. And I was just taking ownership of it. And I didn't like try to like push it away or anything. I just reminded myself, this is all manifesting because of me. It's not because of something outside of me. This is just how I'm thinking about what's going on right now. And I allowed myself to just kind of be angry and write about it and mm-hmm. experience it rather than reacting or I need to just go eat some breakfast. I don't ever eat breakfast, but today's the day, whatever it is, or yell at someone or what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the experiment. And when you get good at that piece, you get really good at your life, because it doesn't mean that you don't get mad. It doesn't mean that you don't get upset. It doesn't mean that you don't get anxiety. It means you get all of that stuff and you manage it and control it now versus running from it.
Yeah, I've been running away from my feelings for years.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that anymore. And during the Hunger Scale Challenge, when I waited to eat till 10, I was able to feel my feelings during that time, because I didn't have the food on top of it.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
And also, I was able to be in the moment with my son, I noticed.
Yeah.
And it was because I didn't have the food on top of it. And that was such a wonderful feeling, you feel alive, like I'm really here.
I think a lot of us forget how often we're missing out on vital pieces of our life because we're snacking. And it's not even I literally will look at myself sometimes and be like, do you really want a snack? Like, you're talking to your kid. Why do you need to eat? But I'll just randomly think stuff like that, So good.
Yeah, this is great. And thank you so much for everything, because I joined in April and I've been learning so much about everything, not just weight loss, just about life. And that's it's been worth it.
Well, that's what I'm worth it. I had my mastermind yesterday where I got coached, and we were all talking about how like just how lucky we are to teach people this stuff.
Yeah, I think this could change the world.
I do too. That's what we kept saying yesterday. We're like, and we're the ones that get to teach everybody this stuff. Like, we're so lucky. I mean, we must have said that 1,000 times yesterday.
Yeah. Because all the problems in the world are caused by thoughts.
Exactly. Exactly.
The way people think. And this is like a movement to me. This is not just weight loss. So thank you so much.
Well, you can tell by the look on my face, I definitely feel that way.
Yeah. Well,
thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. All right.
Thank you. Bye. Nice to meet you.
You too. Oh, you can tell when Corinne's been traveling and tired. It all goes downhill. And I'm ovulating. Dana, are you here yet? If Dana's here, you're next. If not, let me tell you who all I have definitely would love to coach today, and then we can start going through the line after that. Gina, Shaquina, Linda, and I just did Deanna. So those are the ones I would love to, that y'all got some really good ones. If y'all are here, I'll call on y'all first, and then we can just start going down the line. Looks like Linda's here. Good deal. So Dana, Gina, and I think it's Shaquina. It's probably Shaquina, not Shaquina. So redneck. Everything I say is redneck. Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for crying first. Now I'm ready to cry.
Oh, my God. I am so hormonal right now. We're all going to be lucky if we get through this.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What can I coach you on today?
I had bariatric surgery 3 years ago. I lost 110 pounds.
Good for you.
By my second anniversary, thank you. By my second anniversary, I had gained back 30 pounds. And through journaling the past few weeks, I can almost pinpoint when I started gaining. And it's because every time I looked in the mirror, I saw my mom. And I feel like I've lost me now. She was very thin. Her bones in her sternum showed, and that's where I was getting. And I think I'm running from that. And
Did you not like your mom?
No, I did. There's issues. We all have mom issues. I think part of it was when she was 40, she swallowed a sliver of a bone when she was eating, and it damaged her esophagus.
Okay.
All she ate for 30 years was baby food and pureed food.
Okay.
But along with that, she used that to manipulate people. So I don't want to be that. You know, that's the ugly side of that. And I think maybe in my mind, that's the ugly side of skinny. I don't know.
I feel like
I've lost me. Manipulate
people. You know, that's a thought, right? Not a fact.
Well, if she didn't get her way, she'd start choking and coughing. And I was a little kid and I saw her turn blue a couple times because she couldn't get her breath. And, you know, I'm scared to death she's going to keel over dead because I don't know different.
Okay, but she still didn't manipulate people. Let me just say, this is what your mom did.
Okay.
She didn't get her way, and so she would act like mm-hmm. she was choking. That's all that would happen. And then she waited for the world to decide what they were going to do.
Okay.
I mean, people can just let her die. Yesterday, I watched my mentor fall flat on the floor right in front of me, and I was like, I'm not catching you.
That's scary. Yeah. So I don't know. My personality is a lot different than hers.
Mm-hmm.
When I started seeing the physical thing, I don't know. And
do you really think that was it? Like, I saw collarbones. I just can't be like my mom. I better start eating collarbone.
All this through here. I don't know. It's the only thing I've come up with.
What if it had nothing to do with your mom? Let's just pretend for a minute that like your mom has nothing to do with anything you've chose to eat.
Okay.
In the last year or even now.
Okay.
Like, what if it was just all Linda makes a decision to eat? And
that's how it should be. Yes, I agree.
I didn't say it should be that way. I said, we're just pretending.
No, that's how it should be. I choose what goes in my body.
And why should it be that way? Tell me that.
It's my body. It's my choice. It's
your choice.
My life. Yeah.
It's your life. It's easier if you do it that way. But when it has to be like, I watched my mom manipulate people all my life over choking and not getting her way. Uh-huh. And then the second I saw myself get thin, it brings up my whole past with my manipulative mom. I better go get a sandwich. That's a complicated story to unravel and to solve and to ruminate. And you know what? It's wasted time.
Okay, good. Good.
Because that's not why it happened.
I need to unravel it. And if that's okay, it's not done.
You don't need to unravel it. You know what happened? Your mom was doing the best she could. She wanted to get her way. She knew one way to do it. Pretend like she was choking. It's no mm-hmm. different than someone who gets angry and slams doors.
Good point.
Or someone who gives the silent treatment. Mm-hmm. When we all don't get our way, we all have ways of behaviors that we demonstrate mm-hmm. that aren't always the best self, but they're the ones that we have adopted that works for us. Right.
And they work. They get the reaction we want. Right.
And so what happens now is that you're Linda. How old are you, Linda? Do you mind saying? I always ask women their age. And my son's like, Mama, I always heard you're not supposed to ask women their age. I'm like, well, I get to.
Yeah. I'm 66.
Okay. So Linda's 66. And she can either spend the next few months trying to figure out her mother or figure out how she's going to lose her weight now. Which one do you want to do?
Okay. I want to figure out how I'm going to lose the weight now.
Yeah. It's a much more fun project with a better result.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So now you just start looking at, okay, so rather than trying to figure out why I was eating, let's figure out what behaviors I need to stop. And am I willing to do that now? And if I'm not, then why am I not willing to do that now? that's way more fun work and way more productive work.
Okay. Okay. That's my choice. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. That was a good call. I like that. I love it when we just be like, you know what, let's just not think about our past. It's so...
Well, and I listened to something the other day. You were talking about at camp, you know, the past is in the past. And it's like, okay, yeah, but sometimes it's hard to not say, okay, I am this because of this.
It is hard, but this is the thing I want all of you to hear, what she just said. Sometimes it's hard to not say I'm the way I am today because of this, but I like to add, but it's just not useful to blame. It's never serving you a purpose. It may feel justifiable. It may feel in the moment like some relief that you can eat. It may do all of that, but what it does is never produce one single result that gets you closer to where you want to be. If you think about the past and you blame the past, you start creating the exact same results you had in the past.
Okay.
That's all that ever happens. That cycle will never work. So the way I always like to think about it is like when I want to go back and look at ways I was brought up, like sometimes I'll just be like, you know, only if my mom had done this or whatever. I'm like, okay, like, are you going to go back and relive it? Or are you just going to figure out like, well, if I really want to be doing this today, that means I just need to take responsibility for how I'm showing up. I need to quit looking for the scapegoat, or I need to quit looking for the explanation as to why it's not easier now. I need to figure out how to make it easier on me now. And
right.
Part of that is going to be retiring my backstory.
That's the retirement I need to work on.
Yes.
A good word.
Right.
A good word.
Retiring my backstory.
There we go. Perfect.
All right, lady. Well, thank you.
Thank you, too. Have a great day.
You, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's just a cutie. A big old smile. Dana, Gina, Shakina, are any of you here? And if you were notified that you would get coached, you can raise your hand, too. Let's see. Let me see. Raise your hand if some, like, let me tell y'all who all we've got. Let's see. I have Carmen, Jana, Rebecca. Any of you here? Huh. It's so weird. Like, we have all these people that signed up for calls, like, literally 10, and none of them are here. I don't know who Rob Ack is. If you're signed up for a call, will you raise your hand? I've got Dana, Gina, Shakina. We have Julie, Carmen, Jana, Rebecca, Julie Tagan, Julie Shumway, Sherry Nichols, Carrie Peterson, Sarah, Dory, Andrea, Jessica Caulfield, Esther, and Heather. If any of you are here, raise your hand. Because now I'm just going to call on any of you. And like people who want to get coached, raising their hand, who are not on the call. All right, Mandy, you're up. Hello. How can I help you? Oh, well, your sound's not working. Hello. What can I help you with?
Okay, well, I'm an April baby.
Hello, April baby.
Thank you. And I started kind of late. I've got a good friend that's a groupie, and she's actually my mentor, and I told her about PMP. But the last week, I've really been very dedicated to the four basics. Doing my 24-hour plan, drinking my water. But what I've noticed something really interesting is I will wait and put off eating until I'm -4 to -10.
You're not at a -10. Do you know how I know you're not at a -10?
Because I'd be laying on the ground.
Yeah, you'd have to go 3 to 4 days without eating. Not -10 is like Survivor Island, and you didn't win a challenge.
Well, I mean, I guess it feels like that because, you know, I will put it off and put it off and put it off until I have a headache. I'm shaking. Okay,
well, don't put it off that long. Why not just stop doing that?
I know. That would be like the...
The easiest way?
You know what? And I think my friend keeps going, well, why are you doing that? I go, because I'm lazy. Or I go into the kitchen and I'm like, I'm just too lazy to even open up a banana. So I put it off and I put it off and I put it off.
Okay.
And then my body feels like shit. And so then I make myself go and eat.
Yeah. Do you eat on plan when you go eat?
Yeah, for the most part.
No, then that's a no. We don't have, like, everybody, if you're getting coached today, if I ask you a question, it's a yes or no.
Okay.
There's no most part. There's like, no, I overeat. That's what I do. I'm using this as a way to eat off my plan.
Probably, because when I was just watching a call earlier that you were... This was an older video, and I really related to this gal because she said, I make my plan, and then when I sit down to actually do it, that's not what I want to eat.
Yeah. Then why don't you make plans that would, like, entice you to eat it?
I know. I mean, I've thought about that because every time I go to the pantry or the refrigerator, I'm like, nah, I don't want that. Nah, I don't want that. I'll put off until lunch.
But here's the thing. You have got to eat what's on your plan. You cannot, guys, every one of you, I don't give a shit what you put on that plan, but do not eat off that plan. Otherwise, you teach your brain that food is hard, food's a negotiation, I never have to stick to it, I'm not good at sticking the plans. You're teaching yourself everything that you do not need to teach yourself around food if you actually want to be someone who loses their weight and keeps it off.
Agreed.
Right now, like, you've said so many things like, I'm lazy. Like, you're like, I've decided to keep a lazy pattern with food. How many people lose all their weight and be like, you know how I got there? Fucking lazy. That worked.
Yeah, I just, it's like, well, it's like I do the plan and then I just don't follow through. I keep going, okay, well, I'm hungry. It's 10 o'clock. I'm hungry, but I can probably wait a while.
I don't care if you wait. I honestly, if you want to keep waiting and testing your hunger, you do that all day. But you do not use that as a reason to not eat your plan on the next meal. Whatever's on that piece of paper, you need to start telling yourself, I may be too lazy to eat the banana right now, but you know what? When I'm finally ready to cave, it's whatever I wrote down on this piece of paper.
Got it.
Like, it's not just like, oh, well, like, I've been waiting all day. Here I am, like, negative 10. Now I can just eat whatever I want. That is what you're doing to yourself.
Okay. And this
is the problem. It's like, you might as well just start with putting on the plan exactly what you're going to want to eat, because all you're doing is practicing lying to yourself so that you can eat whatever you want to eat.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. One will help you lose weight and one won't.
Yeah, so I lost 2.5 pounds this past week, and my girlfriend goes, well, yeah, because you're freaking starving yourself all week.
Well, so I was part of weight loss is hunger. You're doing fine on that. So I don't care if you want to wait till a -4 and stuff, but right. Here's what I don't want to see you doing. I'm waiting until I get headaches, and I'm waiting until I'm getting shaky, and then I'm expecting myself to go in there and follow my plan when I'm not practicing my plan.
Yeah, that's when I start grab-assing.
Yeah, like, we need to break the grab-assing. So put something on your plan earlier in the day that you'll actually eat, or you need to tell yourself, if I choose to not eat what's on my plan all day that has nothing to do with the next meal, I still am going to have to eat whatever's on that plan. I don't care if I'm negative 10. I will eat what's on the plan. I want you to pretend you're on Survivor Island, and it has been 10 days. Let's say it's been a few days and you haven't been able to eat. And your team won crickets. Mm-hmm. Would you be like, oh, I'm too lazy for them crickets. I'm holding out for the better meal. Or would you eat the crickets?
Oh, yeah. I'd probably eat anything about them.
Yeah, this is the thing. You're, I think, trying to teach. I think you're just like, you want to be able to eat whatever you want to eat. So I want you to plan that and not do it behind your own back and create ineffective habits and patterns. Because right now you're losing. What's going to happen on the day you're too lazy to challenge your hunger? You're just like, well, I've been grab-assing at 3 o'clock at a -4. I might as well grab-ass right now at a -2. And the next thing you know, you're grab-assing at 0. Because all you've done is practice justifying eating whatever you want. You haven't been practicing eating what you plan deliberately to lose weight.
Yeah, I think part of my problem is, you know, the old diet mentality that you talk of and wishful thinking planning.
Yeah. Well, it's stop doing
like what I should have on my plan.
Yeah, but I want you to see the fallacy of what you're doing.
Right.
You're saying, like, here's my should plan. And now I'm going to go eat whatever I want because that's not good enough. And I'm like, why don't you just plan whatever you want? And then we'll eat it deliberately and lose weight.
Right. I think I really try to get things in the house that are really healthy and really good and not have all crap around the house anymore.
I think that's
and
fine.
And then, like I said, I go to the pantry and the fridge. I'm like, none of that looks very good.
It's not going to look good until you start eating it. Do you know when all that food looks great? After you've ate it a couple weeks and dropped about 4 or 5 more pounds.
Right.
And gotten into the habit of noticing that you can eat that stuff and not require the other things to be entertained. You have to eat some of that food, whether you want it or like, you got to quit waiting for all of it to look like, oh, I cannot wait to eat that. Nobody loses all of their weight and every meal's like, fuck yes. Thank God this is here. It's like the best day ever. No, it's like sometimes it's boring, but that's the way food is supposed to be. Food is supposed to have times when it's boring and it's like, oh, this is just not the best meal ever, but I'm going to get on with my life after this meal. Like I'm going to do something, like my life is fun. My life, like work on that stuff. And then like plan some stuff that's actually fun and appetizing. Like when you grab ass, what are you grab assing?
Crackers, cheese.
Yeah, have cheese and crackers for lunch. I bet you'll go in there and get it.
I probably would, yeah.
Yeah, but I just want you to.
I very seldom put that on the plan. I shouldn't be eating that.
I would just put it on the plan and just think there's no reason not to eat this and lose weight. I ate cheese and crackers. Somehow I lost 100 pounds. I ate ice cream. Somehow I lost 100 pounds. I kept drinking wine. Somehow I lost 100 pounds. You know why? Because I didn't eat behind my back either. Because sometimes I would eat a salad because I knew that some days I was having cheese and crackers.
Yeah. I got it.
All right. No more grab assing.
Thank you. I think I'm going to put my plan right in the kitchen like you suggested with other people before.
That's right. Like, put that in the frame. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's see. Mandy, you're up. Rob B-A-K, will you tell me who that is in the chat so I can see who that is? Your real name. Okay, let's see if your sound's working. Now you're frozen. There we go. All right, how can I coach you?
I've just been, first off, I wish I was you because you've done everything that I want to do, including a figure competition type thing.
You don't want to do that.
Well, I did. I did want to do that at one point and got to a week out and failed. And that's where I'm... I just keep failing. I feel like I just keep failing and failing. And every time I make good progress, something horrible goes wrong. Like, for example, last week I worked for the fire department and I just took 2 courses and passed them both. And going into my last exam, I got a phone call that my grandma died.
So how did that make you fail?
I just... I just always feel like a failure. I don't know how.
Yeah, no, but let me just ask you this. You took two courses and you passed them. Your grandmother dies.
Yeah.
Where is failure in this? Now I'm because a failure.
I use that as an excuse to just, oh, I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to suppress these feelings with failing at the weight loss aspect of my life. If that makes sense.
No, it doesn't. So two tests. I passed them. Yeah. My grandmother dies.
Yeah.
Why did you need to eat for failure is what I don't understand. Like, I think I want you to really see what's happening right here.
Well, I just, that day I stopped my journaling. I stopped my 24-hour plan. And I just keep feeling like everybody looks at me as this failure because I keep getting right on the edge of success and then failing and
falling backwards. Who all is looking at you like a failure?
My mom, my
and what did she say
husband,
to
husband.
All right, and tell me.
My work. I definitely am the fattest one at the fire trucks.
Right, but I want to know who's saying, like, oh, Mandy, God, I've been looking at your life. You're such a failure. For fuck's sake, get your shit together.
Me, I guess.
That's why I'm asking. You said, because everyone's looking at me like a failure. I want you to hear all the reality that's going on in your voice. So when you re-listen to this call, I want you to listen for the difference between your story of your life and the actual facts of your life. Mm-hmm. Two tests. Grandma died. I quit doing my 24-hour plan.
Mm-hmm.
I ate some food. Does that sum up the last 7 days? 2 weeks, however long it's been?
Yeah, it's just failure after failure.
No.
Yes.
Two tests. Grandmother died. No 24-hour plan. At over 8. Are there any more facts that I need to know?
No.
Okay. You've decided to make all of that, which two of them aren't even failures. How are you responsible for your grandmother's death? Did you choke her? I don't know it.
No.
Okay, so you didn't kill her. And I don't need to call the police. And you actually passed the test. So I don't understand where the failure there is.
I guess I feel like it's a failure. Like, I know it's up to me, but I don't feel supported. So when...
Yeah, I wouldn't feel supported either because all you're doing is talking about your life like it's a big pile of shit.
But no one recognizes me. Like I just,
no wonder, because you don't. You're not. How often you go around and go like, "Hey, listen, honey, I'm gonna let you know. Like I bawled on those two tests. Like seriously, I don't know if anybody took those tests better than me. Did you go up to him and say that?
No.
What'd you say?
Well, we're not having the best time in our relationship. I just kind of was like, "Yeah, I passed." So.
And you wanted him to throw up confetti when you didn't even throw up. Yeah, but why didn't you? It's my question. Why do you want him to celebrate you before you're willing to do it yourself? You set the tone for how people treat you. If you treat yourself like an asshole, guess what the rest of the world does? They don't let go like, oh my God, you're amazing. You're such a good asshole.
I just want to be successful so bad, and I'm never there.
Yeah, because you're not succeeding in your mind.
No.
Like, what is this? You told yourself the story about those two tests. I'm a failure. I just fail at everything. I quit at everything. I'm such a failure. Here I have perfect evidence of something I didn't even fail, but I created it. As a failure. And now I just want to experience success so bad.
I do. And I feel like that was something to celebrate, but then my grandma passed away. So it's not a good time to celebrate something like that. And it's just,
why couldn't you celebrate it in your mind? Don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Is there any reason why you can't be sad for grandma and at the same time be proud of yourself?
Yeah, I can, but I look at myself and I'm not proud.
Right, but you're not doing it. This is where your problem is, Mandy. This is where all of your problems are. I'm going to tell you right now. You think accomplishing something and hearing it outside of yourself gives you permission for success.
Yeah.
That is not the way it works. To feel success starts with Mandy thinking something about herself. There's only one person in the world who can even do that, and that's Mandy. And you're not willing to carry the water.
Right.
Why? Don't tell me it's because you're waiting on someone else. We all know that's bullshit now. That can't happen. So tell me why you refuse to right now tell me all of your successes.
I guess I just have a tape going in my head of all my failures, and it's just on constant cycle. Yeah.
Well, that's even more reason to tell yourself good stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you think that tape ever stops?
I wish I knew right now.
Do you have a kid?
Yeah, we just had a baby.
Okay. So when that kid starts walking, if the first time it falls down, you're going to be like, oh, fuck, you're never going to be able to do this. Like, you're a failure. This is never happening for you. You might as well just be one of those kids that lays on their belly the rest of their lives. Or what do? You just kind of wait for them to walk, right?
Yeah.
You got to wait for you to walk. The only way for that conversation to change is for you to start every time it starts up to start the new conversation deliberately and on purpose, mm-hmm. as uncomfortable as it will be for the next year, not the next day or two. But like, Corinne, I tried all that success talk you told me and I still don't believe it. I don't know why all those old programming tapes are playing in my head. Like, your kid is going to take probably a good year and a half to get to where they don't fall down every 10 to 20 steps.
Yeah.
You're going
to
be.
I even feel myself in the future. Like, I want to sign up to go to Nashville. I'm in Canada, but I'm like, well, I don't want to sign up and show up and Corinne see me fat. So, and like, that's how many months away? I need to break that cycle.
What do you think? Like, what do you think you need to tell yourself if you think that?
Maybe some reasons why that's not true.
What if you just start with, and that's bullshit, I don't allow myself to think anymore about me.
Mm-hmm.
The only way, like, I would just tell myself, you know, the only way I won't feel like a failure is to quit talking to myself like I'm a failure.
Yeah.
So every time I talk to myself like I'm a failure, I'm going to remind myself to talk like I'm a success.
Yeah.
Like, this whole story about these certifications. Well, my grandmother died. That stopped me from feeling success. No, your grandmother died.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to start right now, when did you take these tests?
2 weeks ago.
So why not just succeed now, right now? What stops you right now from being like, you know what? I'm a baller.
Honestly, before coming on here, I was just sitting in a chair staring at the ceiling, feeling like I'm never going to accomplish this.
Yeah, and you wonder why you keep feeling like shit, because you keep thinking shitty things.
Absolutely, yeah.
This is the thing, guys. There are times in our life, like literally there are times in our life when we're supposed to feel bad. So let me give you an example. Your grandmother dies. We want to feel bad. We love her, right? I mean, do we love her?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I just want to make sure we actually loved her. Not everybody loves their grandmothers. All right. That is when we want to feel grief. That is when we want to feel bad. That's when we want to feel sad. But right now, you're feeling like a failure and defeated by choice.
And I also feel like she never got to see me succeed at weight loss. So that sucks. Yeah.
Do you think her death's harder on her because of that?
No.
Right. This is part of the bullshit that you're telling yourself to just keep being stuck in your story. Mm-hmm. That it's somehow outside of me. Like, Corinne, you just don't know. Like, I really need to, like, just, I need to hang on to this pain. Like, will you just let me, like, sit here and be the one that can just feel like a failure all the time? No. Never happened. She never saw you thin. So what? Like, you know what she saw?
I know you say it has. Yeah.
I mean, literally, do you think she went to her grave thinking, oh my God, I never saw Mandy thin?
No. I mean, she did see me thin, but then she saw me put it all back on and then some. And I know it has nothing to do with people outside of me, and it has all to do with me. I just wish somebody would be proud of me or see me as a success.
Yeah, that is the most painful thought you have right now. Mm-hmm. If somebody else would just see me as a success, I would feel better. No, you wouldn't. Yeah. You know what would happen? I've been sitting here telling you the whole time that you are a success. Here's all the reasons why you should feel good, and here's how to practice that. And you know what you're doing? Arguing with me that no one in the world cares about your success.
Yeah.
This is why we know external validation when you don't do it yourself.
Yeah.
If you really believed in you, you'd be like, that's right. You're right. I did do really well on those tests. Let me tell you about them. Let me tell you how hard I worked. Whatever it is that you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But you're spending your time arguing with me. No. I really am a failure. Like, grandma didn't even see me, like, keep my weight off.
Yeah.
This proves the point. You have to do it yourself. You can want someone else to do it all day long, but it will keep you stuck feeling like shit.
Yeah.
You want other people. Like, guys, this is all of you. This is what happens. It's like you're saying, now what I've done is I've decided my feelings of worth, my feelings of happiness and good and safe and comfort and loved, all the things that you want so bad, I need the rest of the world to have a perfect day. I need everybody else in the world to not be thinking about their own emotional needs. I need everybody very concerned about mine.
Yeah.
Because as I walk through the world, I'm going to need people to always be on their best behavior. Yeah. Because just one person who doesn't, because if you don't believe in you, it won't matter if 30 of them are telling you you did an amazing job. The one that tells you you didn't, who's having their own bad day, you will believe them.
Yeah.
How many people in your life have like so shit on you that it has changed your life to the negative? Like, I would say, like, my life changed for the bad because of them. Like, give me a guess. One?
I've had a few.
Five?
Yeah.
Ten?
Five.
Like, no more than five. Like, you would say five or less?
Five or less, yeah.
Okay. How many people in your life have cared about you and loved you?
A lot.
Like five?
Probably more than five.
20?
I guess, maybe.
Like, think about teachers, me.
Yeah. A lot, I guess.
Probably thousands. You've probably met thousands of people in your life at this point who liked you, cared about you, held the door open for you, said good job and you didn't even hear it. Like, when you got those tests done, did the person you turned, like, did you do it online? Did you do it in person? How'd you have to do it?
In person.
Did you turn it into someone?
Yeah.
Did they just look at you and go, fucking failure?
No.
What'd they say?
Good job.
Hmm. Validation that you didn't even credit to yourself. Like, oh yeah, they thought I did a good job. Score another one for me.
Yeah.
How many times do you think your grandmother was proud of you?
I don't know. A few times, I guess.
A few?
My family's not very good at communicating that sort of thing.
You're not good at hearing it.
Yeah.
Let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
You get to interpret your family any way you want. If you want to interpret them as assholes who can't communicate, you can do that. Or you can just interpret them as my family.
Yeah.
So, like, your grandmother, do you think, like, she loved you on her last breath?
Yeah.
That's the shit I'd think about. I wouldn't be sitting there thinking my grandmother saw me gain some weight back. That's optional, unnecessary suffering. And it's driven from someone who's not practicing how to not unnecessary suffer.
I definitely need to practice that. Because I'm doing a lot of suffering lately, I feel like.
And I want you to tell yourself, this is going to be, this be so good for you, Mandy. And this is for all of you who do this. Everybody does this. I want you to tell yourself, I no longer unnecessary suffer. I no longer create my own suffering. There's plenty of suffering coming my way. It's supposed to.
Yeah.
Like death. Like if you did fail a test, like, ugh, that sucked. I'm going to have to study some more. And gaining some weight back. I don't mind you feeling bad about the weight gain. I just don't want you destroying yourself over it. You know what I want you to do? Learn from it. Use it as fuel to lose the weight.
And like, I have these unrealistic expectations, like, oh, I'll go to the PNP meetup in the fall and Crane will see that I've lost all this weight potentially. And then she'll be like, oh my God, Mandy, you're amazing. And I'm like, what is that? Like, I shouldn't need this parade of like,
no,
out of me. But
you should lose the weight not because of what I'll say. You should lose the weight because of what you'll tell yourself.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you, when you come to the PNP meetup, I'm probably going to be like, hey, and not even know if you've lost weight.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to like wear a badge, at least this big, because I can't half-ass see anymore in my old age. Better be a big-ass t-shirt. And it says how much weight you've lost. You know what I just see? My people.
Yeah.
That is it. And you need to come and you need to say, like, I've lost this amount of weight because I decided that my own thoughts and opinions about me was important. It had nothing to do with you. And it should have nothing to do with me. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm kind of selfish. I forget to say niceties sometimes. Like, I'll be like, oh, that's great. And then somebody else will come right in for a selfie. You don't want to be waiting on me. You don't want to be waiting on anyone.
Yeah, that's what I need to realize. I can't wait on other people.
No. And quit waiting on yourself. The most important, the one relationship you can change, the one relationship that can start right now validating you is the sitting right here.
Yeah.
You get to have as many perfect days thinking about yourself as you want to. And let all that shit come into your head. Mm-hmm. Like, let all of it, all the, like, every time, like, every day, at least, I don't know, we have 40,000 thoughts a day. I would say a good 10,000 of mine are terrible about myself.
Yeah.
I let them come in, and I let them go right back out the door. What I don't do is get pissed that they came in. I don't get angry at them and I don't get frustrated by them. I just change them or I let them go.
Yeah.
And that's all the emotional energy that line of thinking ever gets out of me anymore. It's not worth it.
It's definitely not worth it.
No. All right. Well, I'm sorry about your grandmother.
Thank you.
But I just needed to use it as a circumstance for a little while so we could see that Grandma dying doesn't make you a failure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tom has got all the crying today. Me, everybody. All right. Let's see. Dana, Gina, Shakina, you were all signed up. Got Julie, Carmen, Jana, Rebecca. Let's see. I'm trying to look at all the names. I think there's a Wendy. Wendy, you're next. I can't tell if there's a lot. There you are.
Hello. I'm sorry. I'm unloading groceries. I think I hit the button on my mistake, so I'll let you go to someone else.
Oh, okay. No problem. Nora, you're next. If you're supposed to get coached, will you just raise your hand, please? It'll be very helpful. All right, lady.
Hey, Corinne, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a January baby.
Hey.
And I've had all the starts and stops that everyone else usually experiences, but I've been kind of on a roll through April.
Good.
I did all my little percentages. So making a plan and following the plan was at like 71%. My sleep could definitely be better. It was like a 40%. And I've been working the thought downloads a lot about a lot of things in the past year because I've been listening for over a year. So the mental weight has been great. My big issue is I live 600 miles from my family of origin, and I have a nephew who has stage 4 colon cancer and only has a little bit of time left. And at the same time, my mom is really, her capacity has decreased significantly. So I have two sisters who live at home and another sister who's out of state too. And I think I just really, I need help on the thought models around, I want to be able to experience the grief and the sadness when it's the right time for that. And I want to stay out of that until it's time to do that. Do you know what I mean? So I guess I'm just looking for coaching on how do I think I've been interrupting the thoughts when they start to get carried away before it becomes overwhelming. And saying, nope, we're not, I have time to grieve later. But I also don't want to numb with food, and that's been my pattern. So I want to be thinking about it that ahead of time.
So who do you want to work on, your mom, or do you want to work on your nephew?
I think on my nephew, because I think in a way, kind of like as you watch each generation go before you, you kind of already have a mental plan that like, yes, this is inevitable. This was going to happen. But I think for my nephew, being that he's 38 years old, this was not part of the plan. And I think it really has, I don't know, kind of knocked me for a loop, you know?
Well, that's the thought, this is not part of the plan, is the thought that's feeling like it's knocking you for a loop. How do you feel when you think that thought?
I feel like everything's unfair, and then I feel like I tap into every it's unfair and not right kind of thing. Like I've had a couple of days that just have felt like a long, continuous, like just shitty day. And I think it's the basic thought is this is not part of the plan. This is not fair.
Why is this not fair?
It's not fair because people should be able to get old because he's a nice guy. Because there's a lot of assholes in the world who probably should die before he should.
There's other assholes that need to die first.
There are plenty. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what I come back to. And I deal professionally with medically fragile kids. So I've buried 13 students in the past 22 years. And I think in a way I get the grief, and I think that's always, maybe with my students, it's always something that's inevitable. It's going to happen. Let me ask you this.
Why can it not be the same thought for your nephew?
Well, I think it can be. I don't think I thought of it that way before.
Probably
in 2 seconds, I'll let that dog out because, yes, of course, he's here right now to talk, right?
Go ahead. Thanks. All right. So let me ask you this. Well, let me tell you this. The painful thought that you're having is that this shouldn't be happening. Mm-hmm. And it probably feels like it's true that it shouldn't be happening because he's young. Mm-hmm. But that's where all your pain is residing. That is like resisting what's happening. That's why it feels like you spiral and it feels so much harder and pre-grieving and we're not going to do this now kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Let me just explain what I mean by this. I think this is a tricky thing. I think a lot of us think that that's like, well, it's natural to think someone who's young shouldn't be dying. It's like, it may be natural to think it, but does it help me? Does it help me process the process of him dying? It helps me resist the process.
Right.
If he's dying, it's like, it should be happening. Is the thought that you want to have. That doesn't mean you're going to feel good, which is what I think a lot of us want is we're like, well, tell me the thought that's going to help me bring me peace for all of this or whatever. Like, what if you're supposed to just be really sad and not like it?
Right.
Like, this is happening and I love him and that's why it's so sad, rather than it shouldn't be happening.
And how, I guess I don't have a lot of experience with like regulating that feeling of sad. Do you know what I mean?
Because like, you're being sad from resistance.
Okay.
This should, you're fighting sad. This shouldn't be happening. Mm-hmm. The feeling is like sad and unfair, unjust. Right. Which mixes on the action line, like spiraling thoughts, arguing with yourself, arguing with God, arguing with the world, whatever you want, right?
Right.
And the result is no processing of the pain is happening.
Okay, so my thought then about that, the circumstance of him dying, which is just the circumstance, so my thought is going to be this is happening and it's sad.
I can handle sad. Like I'm going to cry. Yeah. Like this is like the part of life where we do sad. This is not where we do angry and eating. This is what I like to tell myself. This is the part of life. Like I'm going to tell you right now, if something was happening to Chris or Logan or my brother or his knee or my niece or whatever, mm-hmm. I would be really upset and I would be really sad and stuff like that. But I would also tell myself that, but that's because this is happening, not because it shouldn't be happening. You're feeling all of this stuff because you think this is like so unfair. And I'm telling you, like, stay out of that. You can argue whether it's fair or not all day long, but in the end,
it doesn't change it.
He's going to die.
Right.
So the best thing for Nora is to be like, this is happening. I don't eat over stuff like this anymore. This is called the part of life that sucks.
Right.
People die young. And now I need to like make the most of what time I have left. I'm not doing that when I'm resisting it.
Right.
I'm not experiencing him. I'm experiencing my resistance and I'm experiencing my eating. That's what I'm experiencing over here.
Right. And I think in a way I've worked on that. So I didn't do a lot of that. Like I haven't been eating out of it. Like I've had, like, it's funny. It's like, it's been two Saturdays in a row where the Saturdays are been where almost it's like I've taken this moment and it's kind of caught up with me. Mm-hmm. And then I felt a lot of sadness. So I did have an overeat yesterday. It was short, but it was tied into that. But, I think I've been good about the thinking of coming up with the thoughts that were productive for like, how do I make this better for like, how do we make the best of today and stay out of that sadness? But
that's the thing. Do you want to be happy or do you actually want to be sad?
Right. I think that's where I'm confused. Like I think I'm so used to being in the extremes of the thoughts. So I think I'm actually having thoughts that are like, wow, in this moment in time, this is sad.
Yeah.
Because the thought that he's dying is sad.
Yeah. You know?
So, but I think I'm so used to swinging one way or the other that to be in that middle ground, it felt really, it wasn't something I recognized, I think is a better way to put it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so no, I totally agree.
And I think my place of fear on that is that it will swing to the other way. And then I'll have like a week where I feel like I can't function. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's my fear. I don't think that's who I am today, but I think that's who I was 3 years ago.
I want you to think about this though. I want you to think like 3 years ago, did I get so sad and stuck in it because I was embracing and choosing sadness from a place of like, I just want to process this. Like I'm supposed to feel this way right now. Or were you doing it from a place of no, 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 this can't be happening. This can't be happening. Boom. Here it is. Now I don't know how to do it.
I was definitely like a victim place. Like, oh my God, look at what's happening in my life. This really sucks.
Yeah. That is like, I want all of my girls that like, especially with depression to hear this. One of the things that happens is we spend so much time trying to avoid feeling bad, we don't know how to. And so then when it finally catches up to us, it's like we don't know how to speak the language.
Yeah.
And what I'm inviting you to do is like to say like to yourself, it's like, no, like I love him. And I would like for him to have more life and stuff. And that is exactly why I'm sad. Like I understand why I'm sad. And I'm just going to be sad for him. And I'm going to be sad for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to push it away. And I'm not going to act like this shouldn't be happening. And I'm not going to fight with it. You will feel better on the other side of it. You will like, you will under, you will have a command of your feelings. You will feel like, you know what, when I want to feel sad now, I know how.
Okay.
And I run from it ever again.
Yeah. And I think that's really where I'd like to be. I'd like to be in a much healthier place about sad and about grief, because there is so much of it that I deal with on a professional place that it's just an area that I've never really worked on before, but yet it's been such a prevalent part of me for a while. So
I just
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, just let it be. Just don't argue with it anymore. That's my best advice.
Okay, that's good advice. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for all of it, Corinne.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
I saw Gina. Raise your hand, Gina, if you're here. Otherwise, we're going to be done for the day. All right, Gina, your last one. I don't know why it keeps... Yeah, there it goes. This is coming up weird. Hang on. All right. How can I help
you? Hello.
Hi.
I cannot believe I'm like live with you right now.
What do you want coaching on?
Probably I have just been binge eating for the last couple of weeks, and I would like to get to the bottom and move forward. Like just find a solution.
What do you think the solution is?
Probably dealing with my feelings.
Okay, well, that's a good answer. Because if you were going to tell me, oh, not binging,
right. I was gonna
be like, well, we got a long way to go. Oh, shit. Hang on a second. I almost tore my whole bookcase down behind me. So tell me why you're binging.
I think that I'm binging because I am numbing. I'm numb. I don't really feel my feelings, and I don't understand.
Well, that's the effect.
Okay.
But why are you binging? When was the last one?
Maybe about an hour ago.
Okay, so tell me why you binged an hour ago.
Because it was delicious.
And before that? Just tell me, what were you doing before you started binging?
I had read a book on the front porch. I'd finished a book.
Mm-hmm.
I have I'm type A, and I always have these long to-do lists, and I'm avoiding a to-do list today, which is very unlike me. I mean, I always, tomorrow's Monday, I have to go to work. Mm-hmm. I have a lot I need to get done before I go to work tomorrow. Typically, I would run myself ragged and get the entire to-do list done, and then I'd go into the week feeling exhausted, and not have the energy to make plans and not have the energy to fight urges. So today I was like, you know, I'm going to try just not tackling that to-do list and see if maybe that will give me the energy I need to focus during the week. And then I just binge ate.
Okay. So you were sitting on the porch reading a book,
mm-hmm.
and you thought what?
I thoroughly enjoyed reading the book. It was absolutely wonderful to sit there and hear the birds and finish this great book that I've been reading. There were a couple of times, like in and out, I would think to myself, hey, you really should get to your to-do list. You know, you got to be ready for work tomorrow. But I was just like, no, I'm just going to do this.
Okay. And then you did what? You got up and did what?
My husband was asleep. He works night shift, and we don't see each other very often. He's in grad school. And so he was, it was probably around 12 o'clock. And I know that starting his semester ended. And
so what's that have to do with what you did next? So my husband's asleep and you gave me this whole backstory about what your husband's up to when he's not sleeping. So what? All right. He goes to school. He's got a job. So you got up from the book. Husband sleeps. Then what happened?
I don't remember. I really don't.
When did the food start happening?
I don't remember what I did next. I really don't.
All right, so skip that part. We'll pretend you just wandered through the house like a ghost. Then what happened?
I went to the pantry and the refrigerator and I just pulled everything out and just started eating.
And why did you eat?
I don't know.
That's not an answer. So you're going to have to give me now, you have to pay the penalty tax. 5 guesses as to why you ate. The new penalty tax for all of you is if you ever say, I don't know on a call, you have to take 5 wild wrong guesses, which will be awful for perfectionists because they don't like to guess.
It could be because it was great. It could be because I was dreading a to-do list. It could be because I'm dreading going to work for the week and him going back to his semester and school and us not seeing each other.
Mm-hmm. So you had thoughts of dread. Do what?
I don't know in there. That was like number 4. So
you had thoughts of dread.
Yeah.
That's all that happened. You just had thoughts of dread.
What does that mean?
I dread him going back to work. I dread us not seeing together. I dread my to-do list. And then you decided to eat. Why not just dread it?
I guess because that's painful.
Why is that painful?
I haven't given it any thought.
Well, now you get to because you're coaching. This is where we get to do all of our thinking out loud with a guide, a Sherpa. We'll call me the Sherpa.
I mean, it's sad to think you dread life.
No, it's not. It's a thought. One of many you probably have every day. It's one of 40,000 you're going to have.
So what do you do when you... If I don't resort to food, what can I do to sit with the feeling of dread?
You sit there and dread things. You call, like, you decide, like, all right, I'm going to sit here and, like, understand that I'm dreading. This is not the worst thing that will ever happen is for me to dread a to-do list. Lots of people do it every day. They procrastinate. You're just procrastinating with food.
And it took me talking with you in order to figure out what that feeling was. And I think that to get to the root of the problem, I need practice with understanding what my feelings are. Like, have you ever dealt with people who don't feel their feelings or are numb?
Every day. I'm going to say most of the people that come into the tribe, you know why the majority of the people quit?
Why?
The second we take the food away. Like when they can't wait till they're hungry, because if they have to wait till they're hungry, that means they have to start feeling all the shit they've been eating instead of feeling. Mm-hmm. And they don't know what to do with it. They can't wait for module 4 where I teach them how to do something with it.
Gotcha.
Okay. So you're very normal. First of all, you're like the rest of us. You were not taught, unless you are my son's age, like this is legit. Logan this year started going through emotional management classes in high school because they have finally realized that people need to learn how to identify and manage emotions, that it's that important to life.
Right.
Now you're in PNP tribe. It's like you're going to high school for emotional management. Right. But it's the truth. So let's go back to the original question, because this is not going to stop you from binging. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, so what am I supposed to do then? Like, I'm dreading, Corinne. I feel like shit. What am I supposed to do now? Not eat?
Right. Take that to-do list and be ready for the week.
That's one option. There's more.
Instead of eat, I'm not going to say I don't know. I promise I'm not going to say that again. If I just were to name off some things, either just tackle the to-do list because it really does help me feel ready for the week.
I want to point this out. You had a thought change from what you were thinking that drove you to a binge, which is, I'm dreading this week and I really don't want to do this. So now I'm just going to go eat because I'm full of dread. And you thought, your thought changes you came up with yourself is, I'm going to do this list because I know it's going to make me feel better for the rest of the week. I may not want to do this right now, but I also know the payoff in the end. So that's one option. What's another option? Because sometimes when you're really dreading something, that ain't going to do it.
Maybe I know that I'm not going to have much time with my husband until August, so take today to really spend time with him that doesn't involve eating, and that way we have some time together before we get back to our busy lives for a few months until he graduates in August.
Yeah, so rather than thinking about like all the time that you're not going to spend together, think about the time that you have right now that you can just enjoy. Like, I'm just trying to pull apart some of this for you so you can see that in that moment you had options to redirect your own brain. Because when I was asking you, like, what was happening, you went through like this, like, well, I'm an A-type personality and I have all these to-do lists and I have all this. And then before I tell you what I did to binge, let me tell you about my husband's work schedule and why he was asleep. Like, you're creating a lot of story and drama around like moment to moment in your life. Like, I read a book. I enjoyed that. I have a to-do list. Do I want to do it or not? If I'm dreading it, is it worth doing it? Or is there another option on the table for me? There's no right or wrong. It could be just spending time with my husband today. And that is going to be good enough today. And whether or not I do that to-do list today, does that mean I have to not, like, you, there's one thing that you've said that I want to point out to you. If I don't get this list done, then I can't have a good week on plan. Tell me what all is on that list. It's going to prevent you from having an on plan week.
So I haven't done my weekly analysis from last week. I need to.
Do you have the list in front of you?
No, I don't actually.
Oh, I wish you did.
My PMP planner in front of me that I need to fill out for this week. I probably need to go to the grocery store and balance the checkbook, and I'm working on laundry at the moment. I need to get my work stuff ready for tomorrow. There's a few other things, but I can't think of them off the top.
So all of that has nothing to do whether you can have an on-plan week or not. I just want to drop that knowledge bomb on you. How many people in the tribe do you think have lost weight who don't do weekly plans?
Weekly plans as in planning their food for the week, or like
whatever it is that's on your to-do list. How many people in the tribe do you think have lost weight and haven't done any of that stuff today? And won't do any of it?
None.
Do you think my whole plan's going to be off? I haven't done laundry. I just flew in from Dallas an hour before this call. I can for fuck sure tell you there's no weekly food plan done.
Mm-hmm. So you'll just plan tomorrow. Like, you'll just plan tomorrow and not worry about the rest of the week.
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm going to do? Like, because FYI, the weekly plan is optional. The 24-hour plan is the one I want you guys doing. The weekly plan makes it easier if you need to plan for the week. Right. Just if you like doing that. A lot of people don't.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I could go through this entire week and I could have zero 24-hour plans, have zero food in the refrigerator, have dirty clothes all over the house, not even have my work clothes laid out for tomorrow. What else was on the list?
Balance the checkbook.
Oh my God, and my checkbook. I hadn't even seen my checkbook in like 10 years. I haven't balanced a checkbook since my single days.
I think that this is definitely, you're saying things that I know, but for some reason I just kind of, it's almost like an impulse.
Right? Yeah, it's an impulse to give yourself a bullshit reason to overeat.
Yeah, you're right.
Rather than being like, none of this is getting done today, but the next meal, all you've done is made the next meal have to be very on purpose and decisive in the moment. That's all that's happened. I want all of you to hear this because I am a marm about the 24-hour plan and I am a marm about planning. And the only reason why is so that your bullshit brains don't have to make decisions in the moment all the time. So that makes it a lot easier. Like it's like clearing the path with a machete and weight loss is at the end of the path. But what most of you are doing is you are walking through a jungle mired with sticker thorns and hoping to get weight loss at the end of the jungle. Doesn't mean that you can't do it, but you're going to have your machete out and do it all day, every day, clearing your own path, moment, step by step, rather than like just mowing it ahead of yourself for yourself and then coming back and being like, okay, now I'm going to take the trip to weight loss. Like, I want you to think about this. I literally want you to think about this. Your future self has your machete and she's going to clear the path. And every single day, you're either going to walk straight there or you're going to need to just carry the machete with you and do it day by day, step by step. You're going to choose today. It's got to be day by day and step by step. When I don't plan ahead, I am expecting myself to be on purpose and deliberate and very present and in the moment with every food decision that's going to come my way. But that doesn't mean you can't do it. You just haven't set yourself up for it to be mindless yet.
Extremely helpful.
I hope so. Now, with this binging, you're going to have to be on to yourself. You're going to have to say, like, when I feel dread, you need to, like, start identifying, like, when you binge, what are the feelings that normally are coming up for me that are triggering binges? When I feel this, I eat.
It happens so fast. I know, like, now I don't have the urge to binge right this second. And I'll tell myself when the next moment comes up to binge, you need to go with a journal and a pen and just start writing. And you'll finally get to the feeling that's there. But it happens so quickly. I'm not.
Have a pen and paper. Do it while you're eating.
Okay.
Just do it while you're eating. Like, seriously, it is more important for you to figure out why it's happening than it is to stop it right now. You start figuring out what's triggering it and stuff, you can start working your way backward. But I just literally would grab a sheet of paper and then, like, I'm going to eat, but I'm going to make a list of the 10 feelings I could be feeling right now. Start with the feelings first. I could be feeling dread. I could be feeling sad. I could be feeling anxious. I could be feeling anything. Like, write those down first. And then while you're eating, if you want to go on to the next step, it's because I'm thinking, like, for each one of those feelings, say, this could be the thought. This could be the thought. For now, you need to be willing to be really wrong about it. And then what will happen is as you're like, because this is what happened in this call. You had no clue what happened until we started talking about it. And you said, well, I think it might be dread. And that was because I kept asking you to be wrong and take guesses and don't allow yourself to be like, I just don't know. It just happened so fast. It just blah, blah, blah. That's like telling your brain, we're just going to like not think about this. And let me tell you, I don't know is always the mask for I don't want to know. Yeah, because if you know, then the brain's like, oh, Let's start solving. It's like, well, shit, if we start solving, we're not going to get to eat. Your brain is really smart.
Yeah. I was so terrified to sign up for coaching, and I think I've needed coaching for the past few weeks. And I was just, I don't know, I was just probably tired of, I was scared to figure out the answer or for being wrong, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I want weight loss so much that I was willing to just go into something that scared me shitless so I could figure it out because I believe I can do this.
You can do this. But you do not need to be beating yourself up to get there. You do not need to be afraid to get there. And you also don't need to use your life as an excuse to not get there. This has been the common theme today, is us using our lives as an excuse to not feel,
right,
to not succeed, to not like evolve ourselves. It's like our lives are not an excuse. If I could get y'all to adopt one thing today, it would be that my life is no longer an excuse for anything. My life is my reason, not my excuse.
I'm realizing that, and that's a turning point. I think this is a turning point.
I hope so. Well, I appreciate you getting coached on this. I know for you binge eaters, it's not always easy to get coached on binging.
No.
But it's so normal. We have like at least 30% of our tribe are binge eaters. It's just like state in the news now. Like nobody's going to be like, oh, what? It's going to be like, next. All right. Well, thank you for getting coached.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, everyone. That's it for today. Apollo, if this weekend I didn't prepare food and then ate off plan and whatever I came across and now I'm so angry at myself. You don't have time to be angry. I was already on the good road. You're still on the good road. Here's what's the only thing that's happened, Apollo. The only thing that's happened here is that you're on the good road and you've hit your next obstacle. It's time to like figure this one out so that you can get back, like just get back to rolling until the next obstacle comes. Guys, there's always obstacles. And until we're gone from this earth, there are just going to be obstacles in front of us and we're supposed to be uncovering them. Please, please, please drop the idea that you're going to be doing good and like, oh, thank God I'm doing good. It's all solved. The only reason why you guys don't want the obstacles is because you beat yourself up over them rather than being like, all right, time to figure this one out so that I can move to the next one. Weight loss happens at the rate you are willing to fail and get back up. That is all that happens. And if you don't want to beat yourself up about it, then don't. You guys keep saying, I just don't want to beat myself up. It's like, okay, then stop doing it. It would be like if your child was punching themselves in the face and they're like, I just don't want to punch myself in the face. You're not going to sit there and go like, well, now why are you doing it? Why do you think this is happening? You'd be like, stop fucking punching yourself in the face. That is exactly what you would say. You guys are going to have to at some point just stop doing that. That doesn't mean it goes away. It means you stop allowing it to be a problem in your life. You start just hearing it and moving on, getting on to the next thing to accomplish. I hope that makes sense. Y'all have a good one. See y'all tomorrow night. Bye, y'all.